This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
Is Lock and Load.
Come and see me. Can't see me.
As we do on the weekends, you know, I always try to finish the week strong, and that's why I always reach out to my friend, my pal, my favorite writer, and that is the one that he's everybody's favorite writer in the gun genre. His name is Dean Weingarten. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Bill. Glad to be here.
Thank you. You were talking about this case that had come out of Chicago, which as of today that we're talking about this, you haven't written about this yet. I'm supposing you will, but let's talk about this because it is sort of entertaining in a Keystone Cop way, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I have written about it, but it was a couple of years ago because these cases take a long time
right.
to go through the courts. And back in 2018, in February, a circuit court in Illinois heard this case, and it's a fascinating case because I think it's a great example of how you need to set up a case to get a good, clear constitutional ruling. And what happens is that Illinois is one of a very few states, there's two or three, that require you to have some type of paperwork to own any type of firearm. And it's called the Firearms Owner Identification Card. They call it FOID, Firearms Owner ID.
Right.
And it costs something like $10, and you're supposed to get it before you ever buy or own or possess firearm. Well, it's pretty clear to my mind that this is unconstitutional. It's not a long-standing provision. I mean, it's been in California for a couple of decades, I think, but that's not long-standing in constitutional terms. And so what happened was that the police were called to a house on a claim that shots had been fired inside the house. They go to the house. There's an elderly lady lives there alone. She allows them into the house. They search it. They find no evidence that shots have been fired, but they find a .22 single-shot bolt-action rifle that she says she has for self-defense. But she does not have a firearms owner ID. And she doesn't admit to owning the rifle, but she says it's in her possession. She possesses it.
Is there a distinction between those two?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Because you can say that somebody loans me a gun and I have it in my house. I possess it, but I don't own it.
Okay.
And so, yes, you can possess something without owning it, and you can own something without possessing. So, they charge her with, I think, a misdemeanor of not having an FOID. So they take it to court, and the court says, I mean, and it's a very clear ruling. They basically say, you can't require her to fill out a form, provide a picture ID, and pay a $10 fee to obtain a card before she can exercise her constitutional right to self-defense with a firearm. That's unconstitutional. You can't do it. Basically, in First Amendment law, it's called prior restraint. So the state did not like this. And in Illinois, the Supreme Court has already ruled that in some cases, you can't require that somebody has an FOID. I mean, you can't prosecute somebody for it if they're otherwise eligible to have an FOID and you find them with a gun. You can't just throw them in jail for that. So it was a very strong case from precedent as well. So the state of Illinois, of course, doesn't like this because it destroys their whole FOID scheme. And I don't know how much income. They get a fair amount of income from FOID. Not that big on a percentage for the whole state, but, you know, a couple 100,000 people at $10 a year. It's good for 10 years. So maybe 100,000, a million in the whole state might have them, say, at $10. So they probably don't get more than $500,000 a year from
them. Right.
And for Illinois, that's not that much money.
That's not why they have it, though. I mean, they're not. They don't money. So.
No, it's. I think they have it just to exert their control to say, we have our thumb on the scale, buddy, and we get to decide whether you can have a gun or not.
Do
and we get to decide before you're ever allowed to have one.
Do they have a registration there as well? Registry?
No, they don't. Well, they don't exactly. The FOID is the closest to registration.
That's what I was going
to
say.
But it doesn't specify guns on it. It just specifies that you're allowed to be a gun owner. So the other thing is that it's administratively a horribly run program. They basically, from what I've read, they grab money from this program and use it for other stuff. And then people who are trying to get the FOID end up waiting for months at a time to renew their FOID. And there's also been cases where the FOID runs out, and because the police knew that you had a gun and it hasn't been renewed, and there could be a lot of legitimate reasons why it hasn't been renewed, like they didn't tell you it needed to be renewed or you moved and the notice didn't go to the place, and they're notoriously bad at processing change of addresses in this system. But they say, your card hasn't been renewed, you have a gun, they go to your residence, knock on the door and say, have you, are you so-and-so? And you say, yes. They say, you had an FOID card, you don't have it anymore. Do you still possess a gun? And if you say yes, they say, hand it over, it's illegal. If you don't give it to us, we'll prosecute. And I've heard of cases like that. So it's kind of a semi-registration that way. They don't know exactly which gun, but they might be able to find out. You know, if you went through a dealer to buy it, and then it's on a 4473 somewhere, and they can go back and find the dealer, and they can look for your name, all that's possible. It's difficult. It's bureaucratic. But I've heard of this kind of, it's to me, it's very obvious abuse and of the system. So this is what they do, and this case basically said, no, all of that is wrong and illegal. Well, under Illinois law, the state, if a law is ruled unconstitutional, they can appeal directly to the state Supreme Court, not the U.S. Supreme Court, but the Illinois State Supreme Court. And the Illinois State Supreme Court has a pretty good track record on striking down laws that violate the Second Amendment. They've done it 2 or 3 times. Not what you'd expect in Illinois, but that's what has happened.
Yeah.
So the state of Illinois appeals this to the Supreme Court, and so then the name of the case appealed to the Supreme Court becomes Illinois versus Brown. So if you want to look it up, Illinois v. Brown.
Let me get you to hold right there. We're coming up on the first break. We can finish this on the other side. You can find Dean's stuff, of which there's a lot, over 1,500 articles at ammoland.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back.
Kevlar-style firearms for sports, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do, too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word lock and load at franklinarmory.com.
Protect, hunt, compete. This is the mantra of CZUSA, delivered via a lineup of superlatives with handguns proven to function in both real-world and competitive settings. Rifles designed specifically for the mission, whether it is law enforcement or built for the plains of Africa. CZUSA has engineered peerless reliability into their superlative product line. Go to cz-usa.com and find out what serious shooters have known since 1991.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
COVID-19, this is Lock and Load. And we are talking to Dean Weingarten. When we last left off, the Illinois Supreme Court had gotten a case to hear, and this was going to be one of these things where you're like, really? This is coming out of there? So, Dean, if you would, please pick that up, and let's finish that ditty out of here.
we were talking about the case called Illinois v. Brown. Now, there's another very famous case called Brown v. Illinois. So if you're searching on the Internet, be sure to search for Illinois v. Brown, and it's recent. It was just decided a couple of weeks ago. So the decision is out there, so you can read it. But what we were talking about is that the lower court, the circuit court, ruled that the FOID law in Illinois, the requirement to have firearms owner's identification card, was unconstitutional, that he could not be required to apply for this card, pay money, fly an ID, wait around, and wait for the state to decide whether or not you could exercise your Second Amendment rights to self-defense in the home. And the state of Illinois appealed this, and they can because that's the way the law is set up in Illinois. In fact, it's almost designed for this kind of case, directly to the Supreme Court. So the state appealed the case to the Supreme Court. It was actually in 2019. And then just a couple weeks ago, the Supreme Court ruled on Illinois v. Brown. And this shows you that, you know, that people, the justices, the judges on Supreme Courts or any courts, they're just people. You know, they have their own, they may be smart people, they may be well-read, they may be able to read and write very well, but they're just people. And their response to this case was, well, kind of funny, but you laugh and cry at the same time. The case was just beautifully set up. It was hard to see how the Supreme Court could not agree and uphold this ruling. So they heard it, and I'm sure they talked about it among themselves and argued about it. And they ruled they weren't going to hear the case on a 4-3 decision. So it's a split decision. Four of the justices ruled that, well, we think this case could have been decided on other than constitutional grounds, although it seems real dicey to me that that would be the case. And so we're going to remand it back to the circuit court, and they have to decide it on other than constitutional grounds. Well, you read the dissent from that decision, and it's like word salad. It really is not convincing decision, in my opinion.
Right.
So I'm going to just talk about the paragraph, the summary of the dissent, because I think that says it quite well. And the dissenting judge, of course, the Internet doesn't want to show it to me now.
Of course not.
But what the dissenting judge says, look, the system was designed for us to hear cases like this. Sending us back to the circuit court doesn't solve anything. We're just going to end up hearing the same arguments again some other time. And this case, with the basic facts, which nobody disagrees on the facts, shows that the FOID is unconstitutional. So we should have just heard it and ruled it unconstitutional and be done with it instead of playing around and sending it back to the circuit court. Now, she uses more elegant language than I have,
right,
but I think I've gotten. I have it here. Let's see.
That's a pretty good summation, I think. I mean,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah. No need to use all of the legalese that goes with it.
Right. And that's gone back to the circuit court. Now, the circuit court will make some kind of decision, and I'm sure it's going to invalidate the law anyway, but it'll somehow try to do it on other than constitutional grounds. It might say, for example, this law is unenforceable, which I've never heard court invalidate a law for that, but it was mentioned in the Supreme Court decision that it was unenforceable.
Sure.
And so we're not going to allow the state to apply some kind of a punishment to this woman for not having an FOID card. My guess is it'll be something like that. But it shows one of the problems we have generally is that judges just don't want to, some of the time, at least on our side, often don't want to jump into controversial cases and make difficult decisions.
How many states besides Illinois have an FOID type card where you have to have a permit?
Illinois, to have something like it, I think there's about three. I mean, there's states that require registration for like handguns, and then there's states that require registration for handguns and long guns. But most of them have, exemption. For example, if you own guns, say in Arizona, and then you move to California, you can still own those guns. Of course, California law is probably a bad example because it is so convoluted and so full of legalese, and it contradicts itself. I mean, it's really hard to figure out exactly what's legal and what isn't in California. But most states, if you move there and you own guns, you can still own those guns legally, and often you don't even have to register. Most of the time you don't have to register. So this is it's an outlier, and that's one of the reasons it's good for a challenge, because it isn't common, it hasn't been around a long time, and those are the kinds of things that were talked about in Heller versus D.C., the 2008 seminal case on the Second Amendment at the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court level. So now that we beat that, we'd like to go to something else.
Well, no. I wanted to ask, what is the supposed reason for the FOID card? What is this preventing? Do you still have to go? I mean, you still have to go through a background check when you buy the gun, right?
Right. So it's a really good question. I think. All I see the state saying is, well, we want to know who has guns. And this might help us keep guns away from people we don't want to have.
All right. We're going to be right back. I'm talking to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load.
Operate. At STI, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At STI, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. STIGuns.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
I am not done, but I have found a way to thrive. Elevate. Elevate is a wearable technology designed to mitigate your active lifestyle. Whether you're a professional athlete looking to enhance performance, a yoga practitioner wishing to gain more flexibility, or a person seeking natural ways to relieve pain,
benefits encompass all walks to life and lifestyles.
Elevate is not a cure, but the IE-infused clothing will give you that extra percentage needed to help you get moving. For more information or to order, go to ElevateBill.com. Elevate, because I am not done yet.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump giving his signature of approval to a small business aid bill that was passed by the House and Senate this week. The bill pumps money into a popular loan program that quickly ran out of money and was then stalled in the Democratic-led House. Republican Senator from Arizona Martha McSally tells Fox News this is a big boost for small businesses.
Well, there's small businesses in my neighborhood all over Arizona who are just struggling. They may not survive if they can't get access to this quickly. It's stalled for way too long.
Banks now working hard to get that money to small business owners across the country. According to the Washington Examiner, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff is blocking the release of dozens of witness interview transcripts from their investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election. You're listening to USA Radio News. Consumers are still down on the U.S. economy. Here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
The University of Michigan's final reading on consumer attitudes in the month of April fell more than 17 points from the March reading of 89.1. It's the third straight month of declines. The survey noting this time that consumers' reactions to the possibility of an economic reopening will be critical as some states do begin to ease their stay-at-home restrictions. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
A former CIA officer and National Security Council chief of staff says that former CIA director John Brennan ignored intelligence that Russian President Vladimir Putin actually wanted Hillary Clinton to win the 2016 presidential election. Brennan suppressed facts or analysis that showed why it wasn't in Russia's interest to support Trump and why Putin stood to benefit more from Hillary Clinton's election. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA? Or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance. You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Severely socially distant. This Lock and Load. And we're talking to Dean Weingarten. And Dean actually found a sort of a time capsule here. And it's in my favorite category of stuff that he brings to the show. And that's all I'm going to say. Tell us about this little, never before, you know, you've written about it, but we've never talked about this. And nobody has either.
Right. Well, that's not exactly correct. Let me explain a little bit. And then I was on an internet forum and site. It's a real famous and big one, and it's called Free Republic. And I'll give it a little plug. I mean, it's a great place to get information. And if you just search for Free Republic, it's probably one of the best, biggest, most useful conservative forums sites on the internet. It's kind of a news agglomerator, too. Well, I had posted a bear story on there. Not one I wrote, but one that came up in the news. And people would post responses, and they'd discuss the story. And one of the posters mentioned, just kind of offhand, oh, yeah, you know, I was in Oregon, and this bear tried to come into a cabin window and got shot. I thought, well, that's interesting. So you can make private conversation, and I said, gee, I'd really like to hear more about this story. It sounds interesting. And we got to transferring information back and forth over the internet, and eventually David Connor, who is just a little bit older than me, about a year older, told me the whole story. You know, with I'm a professional interviewer, and you know, so I know how to talk to people, and David's a great guy. And at first, he did not think this story was worth telling. It just happened so quick. It's no big deal, you know. But the more I talked to him, the more details came out, and the more interesting the story became. And I got full permission from him to tell the story, to write it up. I had him check it for facts and even got some family photographs to go with it. So what happened is David, this story happened in Oregon near in a cabin near a fire tower in the Oregon Mountains, pretty remote, in 1958. And at the time, David Connor was 8 years old, and he had an older brother who was about 10 years older, about 18. And his father were there. David had got work there, I should say. So David went to bed just after dark, he and his two younger sisters and his mother. And it was quiet, but he hadn't fallen asleep. So it's in July. So it's probably 9 o'clock, 9:30 or something like that. All of a sudden, he hears his mother screaming. And, you know, he jumps out of bed. He scrambles. It's a very small cabin. There's only two bedrooms and a kitchen area and a little bit of a dining. And he hears his mother screaming. He scrambles to the door. I had electricity. So the light was on in the kitchen. And he looks through the doorway over to the left is his mother screaming. And on the right is kitchen window over the sink. And here's a black bear pushing its head through the window screen. So the way that they got up there was that David's father had been in the army in World War II. So in 1958, he took a job working fire watch in this Rock Creek area outside of Baker City, Oregon. And the Forest Service supplied them with a World War II Dodge surplus power wagon. They're not real fast, but they're real tough, and they're really good for going difficult places. And he had, he's watching for fires, and the day before, he saw smoke. And he talked to other towers in the area, and he probably had radio up in the tower, and because they had electricity, and they triangulated where this fire was. It was closer to him than anybody else, so he and the older son take off to go fight this fire and put it out. Quite small at this point, that's part of the reason they watch for them, get them while they're small and put them out. So at the base of the fire tower, about 50 yards away from the fire tower, was this little cabin. And then they had sort of semi-running water. They had to haul water up to the cabin, and so they had a sink, but they didn't have indoor plumbing otherwise. They had two outhouses, and then they had a woodshed. So they had electricity, and David, as an 8-year-old boy, absolutely loved living there. His father would allow him to climb up this fire tower. It was, fairly high. It was probably 60 feet above the ground, something like that. And his father had half-tamed some chipmunks that would come up there and be able to feed them. There were some mule deer around that would just hang around. Sometimes they got hooves, they'd clatter onto, there's a porch on the cabin. Well, when the father went off to fight the fire, his father was a pretty, I think he was a very accomplished shooter because he had really good taste in guns. And they weren't all that super expensive, but he left 4 guns on a gun rack in the cabin. He left the L.C. Smith double-barrel 12-gauge, older, but L.C. Smith nonetheless, and then an 03 A3 Springfield 30-06, which was customized by Sedgley, a very well-known customizing gunsmith, and then a 300 H&H Magnum Remington Model 721, and a Winchester Model 61 pump-action 22 rifle. Now, he kept the rifle loaded because one of the things he did was to shoot porcupines. And porcupines are a pest up there. They really do terrible damage to timber. And occasionally he'd shoot a grouse for the pot, too, with the 22. So they're in the kitchen. His mother's off to the left. David is looking through the doorway. The bear has its head poked through the screen on the window over the sink. His mother screams at the bear, "Get out! Get out!" Well, the bear doesn't pay any attention. And he looked, David looked at his mother, and she had grabbed the .22 off the gun rack when she discovered that the bear was coming in.
I'll tell you what, hang on right there where the bear's coming in, and we'll finish this on the other side of this time capsule story that unheard of till now. Well, for the most part, unheard of till now. And you can catch other stuff that Dean has written about by going to ammoland.com. Well over 1,500 stories sitting there waiting for you right now. A repository unlike any other, simply because of how prolific he is, because nobody writes as much as he does. Now, when we get back, are we going to actually hear about how this bear meets his untimely end? Does this woman persevere?
Yes.
Well,
don't. If that's okay.
Yeah, that's perfectly okay.
Much left.
That's perfectly okay. That's perfectly okay. I'm just trying to set it up sort of like
a soap opera. Was I too long-winded?
No. No, we're still in the segment. We're very, very good to go. I was sort of setting it up soap opera.
Yeah, well, you notice how I tried to time it, make it a good story, you know.
Almost did. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hand sanitizer is not an option. It's now a must-have. But where can you find it? Online at 2020safe.net. The highest quality hand sanitizer that destroys microorganisms and prevents transmission of pathogens. Now available in a 1-liter bottle with a bonus at 2020safe.net. When you order a 1-liter bottle of our high-quality hand sanitizer, you'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $14.95 value, free by using code GCN at checkout. 2020safe.net offers many natural products to help support health and help you live a more fulfilled life. From germ-zapping hand sanitizer to immune-building nutraceuticals to natural stress, anxiety, and sleep aids, 2020safe.net has what you need in stock today. Just click 2020safe.net, that's 2020safe.net, to get our 1-liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your bonus free 30-count bottle of Immune Booster. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours free. Go now to 2020safe.net.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen. oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Last time on the firing line. Coming to you live.
There is just
lock and load.
People have tried to look inside of me, wondering what I think of you when I protect you out of courtesy. Too many times that I've held on when I needed to push away, afraid to say.
And talking to Dean Weingarten, we're hearing about the bear. The bear from 1958 about this older lady that's going to engage the bear. We had to cut it short a little bit in the last segment. So please, sir, if you would, conclude the bear story.
Yeah. Well, in this case, she wasn't really an older lady. David was eight. David Connor was eight. His mother, I'm guessing, probably about 30 or so. And she was a petite woman. She's slender. I mean, I saw pictures of her, gorgeous lady, and she was probably only 5 feet tall. And that's, David told me that was a good description of her. So David wakes up. His mother is screaming. He scrambles to the door. He sees her to the left. She had been in her bedroom. There were two bedrooms in the cabin, and she heard a noise, and she looks, and here's this black bear coming in. She starts screaming. So as she goes to where the bear is, she grabs a Winchester Model 61 22 pump gun. The father had kept that gun loaded, and he left it there with him when he went off to fight the fire. She grabbed it because it was loaded. She didn't grab the 30-06, the 12-gauge, or the 300 H&H Magnum. They weren't loaded. So she screams at the bear. The bear pays no attention to her scream. And it's trying to get through the window. So she stops screaming. She brings the rifle up to her shoulder, and she starts shooting. Pow, 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 pow. And I'll tell you, even a .22 inside a cabin is pretty loud. The shots only took a couple of seconds. The bear dropped back out the window. David's little sisters, by this time, had joined him in the doorway. Eventually, David and his sisters went back to bed, and somehow they even went back to sleep. But David's mother stayed up the rest of the night, and I'm sure she kept the rifle handy. Well, in July, near Baker City, starts getting light by about 5 a.m. So David and his mother looked out the window, as it's getting light, to see if the bear was anywhere nearby. And there was blood on the sink, on the windowsill, and on the porch outside. So after a careful visual search, David and his mother went out onto the porch. And there was a blood trail, and it led toward the woodshed. So David's mother made an executive decision. they would wait inside until David's father and brother returned. So 2 hours later, the older men in the family returned in the Dodge Power Wagon. David's mother explained to the father what had happened. The two men loaded the .30-06 and the .300 H&H Magnum, and they followed the blood trail, and there, behind the woodshed, was the bear, dead, only 30 yards from the kitchen window. So then David went out, and he watched his father and his brother skin out the bear. And as he watched, his father pointed to the wounds his mother had inflicted on the bear with a little .22 Winchester. One shot went to the upper left jaw. Another shot went through the left eye. A third shot was just above the left eye. A fourth shot went through the nose. And a fifth shot, just below the right side of the jaw in the neck, cut the carotid artery. And that shot was fatal. Blood had squirted from the artery, and it sprayed the kitchen sink, the window frame, and on the porch, and the blood trail was pretty heavy. And when that carotid artery is cut, you bleed out pretty fast. And that heavy blood trail led right to the dead bear behind the woodshed. Now, you'd think, at that close range, that she'd have hit the bear's brain. But the fact is, the bear's brain is kind of low and narrow in between the eyes and behind the eyes. So if you hit a bear in the eye, or above the eye, very often you're just going to miss the brain entirely. And that's what happened in this case. So she picked up four empty .22 cases off the floor of the cabin and put them on the table. When the father came in from skinning the bear, he goes over to the Winchester Model 61, works the action, and kaplink, out falls another empty case. She'd fired five times, and she hit the bear five times. Well, word kind of goes around. David's father and older brother had tacked the bear's hide to the woodshed, and they put the skull of the bear inside the woodshed. And a couple days later, a ranger came up to the cabin, and David's father talked to him, explained what had happened. Well, then he went inside and retrieved the .22 pump gun. He came out, and he and the ranger expended a couple of boxes of .22 ammo, plinking. There never was an official record or a newspaper story about it. And what this looks like to me, I've written and read about lots of black bear attacks. And it has all of the profile of a predatory black bear attack. This was a young male black bear. That's the most common type to do a predatory attack on humans. It was persistent, you know. It was kept trying to come in, even though it had been screamed at, and, you know, obviously there were humans there. It probably didn't really know what humans were, just thought of them as some kind of unusual animal. And it knew, because bears have these incredible noses. I've read that bears are supposed to have a nose something like seven times as effective as a bloodhound. So it knew that the big males from this strange animal group were not there. There was only a small female and the young inside this strange nest with this really attractive and delicious odor coming out of the window. So black bears routinely prey upon young or small females and their young. And this bear didn't realize until he was wounded that this species wasn't... was too dangerous to prey upon, and by then it was too late. So David and his family, they talked about this for years, and he said that he had heard or told the story hundreds of times. He'll just never forget his mother shooting a black bear with a .22 as it tried to force its way into the little cabin up by the fire tower. So that's the story. I thought it was a pretty good one.
I would imagine there's a lot of those.
I think so. I think there's hundreds of them out there because if you shoot a black bear, say it's 1940 and you're out in the woods and this bear, you know, pulls a predatory type of attack, and that's not usually a full on charge. they're not sure if you're a good prey or not, so they sneak up on you, and they try to get close, and they're looking at you. And many of these predatory attacks, the bear is peering at you with a kind of a, if you ever seen a cat stalk a bird, you know how they have that intense stare at their prey?
Right.
With that type of thing, and they may not be moving, they're just staring at you. Well, that is a real good indicator that it's a predatory attack. And often that's only 20, 30 feet away. Well, they even have a little 22 pistol. You can pop a black bear 20 feet away. And they don't want to get hurt, because if every prey species hurts them, they end up dead pretty fast. So if you prove you're a prey species that'll hurt them, they usually run off.
Well,
so it's the way it works.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see some more about that. I've read a lot of stories in a lot of different places about people going back up there in those woods and everything else. But we'll have to do that another time, because we're just about out of time now. To find Dean, to get with Dean to find out the stuff that he does, which he's written well over 3,000 articles, and about 1,500 plus of them are at ammoland.com. And, of course, he spends a couple of nights here a week when everything goes right, and we recount all of this stuff. But he, more people read his stuff than anybody else's that writes in the gun genre. You should get a business card made like that.
Yeah, maybe I should have that put on a business card. It's a pretty good line.
I think so. Thank you for joining me this evening.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. And we'll be back again on Monday. I'm normally not 21 hours, but back on Monday. And between now and then, if you would, please remember this. It has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been. It's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load. Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American made to the highest standard. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
I'm here with Scott Useum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.